The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Well, as always, I do look forward to all the work EWG, Environmental Working Group, for those of you that don't know. They do so much homework for us and make things so much easier in understanding what's out there, what's healthy, what's toxic, products that we should be looking out for, ingredients that we should be watching. And every year they do their Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. It's been going on for quite a few years. And, you know, it's funny, in my mind, I saw peaches at the top of the list a few years ago. And that's it. They're at the top of the list forever. And I forget that every year there's new data, whatever, there are new studies, and they review everything. So this year I got a press release in my inbox or whatever newsletter from them, and it was all about strawberries hitting the top of the list. And I thought, oh no, oh no. So I'm really glad that today we have Sonia Lunder, who is a senior analyst with EWG, again, Environmental Working Group, to tell us about what's going on with strawberries and other things on the list. Hi, Sonia.
Hello.
So, yeah, I was really sad. And when I was just reading about it before we got talking, before you called, there's something about it. Soil for strawberries being injected with nerve gas? What the heck? What does that mean?
Yeah, unfortunately, strawberries are very vulnerable to pests, and as a result, conventional strawberries are grown in fields where they inject pesticide gases into the soil, cover them with plastic tarps, and really sterilize by killing all the soil microbes before they transplant in the strawberry plants and grow them to harvest. So there's an incredibly intense use of these fumigant pesticides on strawberries.
The whole concept is so disturbing. It makes me really never want to eat. And I have for years not – I've tried to avoid non-organic strawberries. I didn't know the extent of, but I do know that they are vulnerable. So they are kind of, you know, heavily laden with pesticides and things. But, you know, you and I also chatted a bit about – there have been some reports about organic strawberries in the store that are labeled organic, sometimes are not completely organic. And you explained it well. So would you explain it again?
Yes, this issue has been raised over the course of the last couple of years. But the organic rules grant an exemption when organic seeds and starts are not available. And in the case of strawberries, a lot of strawberries that are sold and raised and marketed as organic actually got their birth in a nursery where there were strawberries, pesticides used on the starter plants. Strawberries are always transplanted from one location into the fields where they'll grow and create fruit. And so there's some chance that the organic strawberries that you're purchasing were treated with pesticides before, you know, in the baby stage before they were transplanted into the fields. But this is something that the industry is investing in solving by growing and creating nurseries where they can grow organic seedlings for transplant.
Well, that's encouraging. And in my mind, as we were talking initially about this nerve gas thing and how vulnerable they are, whatever gas, I'm thinking, can we just build some really nice, you know, greenhouse, giant greenhouses for strawberries where they might not be so vulnerable and they don't need to be gassed?
Well, I think that it's really important to highlight here that organic farmers are innovating and using ancient technologies like crop rotation and modern technologies that are much more like building up the soil with the organic layer or compost to avoid using fumigants on the farm fields. And this is a crop that when it's grown conventionally is really heavily treated with pesticides. We found about 300 pounds of pesticides applied per acre, and a lot of those are the soil-killing fumigants, and it really highlights the tenacity and innovation in the organic industry that they're able to create and widely sell organic strawberries that don't have to have those poisonous gases.
Well, I'm so glad because, you know, a green diva needs her strawberries in the spring, in the summer, you know, come on. But, you know, the work that you do with this, are there any other surprises or really anything notable that's changed this year in these reports?
Well, we look at pesticide residues on fruits, conventionally grown fruits and vegetables every year using a massive data set developed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And we do find consistent differences between crops. Our Dirty Dozen remain fairly stable over the years, although there's some shifting around in the list. And this year, strawberries rose to the top, even though those fumigants that are so heavily used on strawberries dissipate into the atmosphere and don't necessarily remain as residues on the strawberries. We did find a lot of pesticides. About 40% of the strawberry samples in this year's testing had 10 or more pesticides on them. That's after they're washed by the producer, they're sent to the store, you bring them home and wash them. These are really trying to mimic the types of fruit that you would actually be eating.
Right.
Yeah, strawberries, even in that situation, had lots of pesticide residues on them. Apples have been the number one crop on the Dirty Dozen list for several years, and we see slightly fewer pesticide residues on apples.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, some changes on the list. But generally, a lot of tree fruits, nectarines and peaches, cherries, and then celery, spinach, and tomatoes are these kind of common fruits that and vegetables that have a lot of pesticide residues on them when you buy them in the store.
Wow. Well, you know, so there's always a case for growing your own, then you know for sure. But I am encouraged because I don't know how long y'all have been doing these lists and this research, but I've got to believe, based on what I remember from statistics recently, that organic farming is growing. And like you said, there's a lot of innovators out there in the organic growing field, farmers. So have you seen over the years, you know, some changes that have occurred because there is more organic innovation?
We don't think organic is nearly large enough. We know that
I agree with that.
Supply issue. Costco recently said that it would love to buy and sell a lot more organic produce, but they're not able to. We know that the subsidy system in the U.S. is heavily tilted toward producing commodities.
Don't even get me started on that stupid farm bill.
And we'd like to see a real promotion of growing healthy and ecologically sound fruits and vegetables for Americans to consume. We'd like to see that subsidized by the federal government.
Yeah.
And we'd like to see people being able to afford and purchase and enjoy these organic fruits and vegetables.
Well, but has there been an increase over the last few years from, I mean, I know it's not enough. I know it's not enough yet and that we're getting there. But, I mean, has there been? Okay.
Organic is definitely increasing year after year, and we're impatient and hoping that it continues to grow as quickly as possible, especially with this information about pesticides being really abundant on conventionally grown fruits and vegetables. You know, more than half and up to three quarters of conventional foods have pesticide residues on them. We do see some foods that just based on their properties or where they're grown, have few pesticide residues on them. But even then, there's stuff used during the production. And so, you know, we want to see a shift, and we are glad to see the numbers increasing. But we know that there's a consumer demand and hope to see a positive trend in the organic sector.
Well, I mean, hearing that Costco would like to sell more organic and that it just isn't available is encouraging. And that if someone's thinking about, I might start an organic farm, and you're listening, do it. We need you. And I'm sure there are more and more, you know, farmer cooperatives that are trying to meet the demand for organic, you know, produce. Thank you. Yay. Because I can't grow my own. I mean, I grow some things, but no. Between the deer and my squirrels, I fight with them on my deck, so... I'm really glad that I have farmers that are, you know, doing it for me. Yay.
Agreed.
So any last words about this year that stand out about this year's report before we close up?
Well, people can see the whole food list by going to ewg.org/foodnews, and we show the results of pesticide testing for about 50 different fruits and vegetables. You can see those things that you like and buy, and give you a little nudge to buy organic versions of those things that you buy and eat a lot that are on the Dirty Dozen list.
Yeah, and I mean, I already buy organic, but I'll tell you, it was a little bit scary when you see statistics like there's something like 60 different types of pesticides used to grow, in different combinations, to grow strawberries alone. And then when you start to read what some of these things that are commonly used, they're carcinogens, they're hormone disruptors, they're killing the soil, they're killing bees, whatever. It's bad. It's just bad.
Yeah. Agreed. And that's why we do this guide.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for the work you're doing and for coming on and talking to us today about it. And I look forward to talking to you again, maybe before next year.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com.